eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
Thank you, guys. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would lead us to the cross this morning. That's exactly what we want. Father, we invite you. We invite your presence. Lord, we give this service, this time, to you. That's what we're here. We're here because of you. It's all about you, and we don't want this to be about us. But what we want to do is acknowledge who you are, that you are our God, you are our Lord, you are our Savior. It is because of you that we have breath and are even here this day. You sustain every breath that we take. How often we forget that you are the giver of life. How often do we neglect to acknowledge that? How often do we neglect to come back to you and to give you the proper thanks and the proper praise for the things you do every day in our lives, the wonderful blessings you bestow upon your children? So God, we are going to take some time this morning to acknowledge who you are. So we step aside and we invite you to come and minister among us. Show us what you want us to know. Speak to our hearts. But most of all, bend your ear and listen to us as we lift our voices in praise to you, as we give thanks to you for all that you've done. If you do nothing more from this point forward, nothing more, you've done enough. May we give you praise and thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. Father, we're not going to rush. We're not going to try to stick to a schedule that blocks you out. But we invite you to come and be here with us. You've promised that you would be. And we thank you for your faithfulness to fulfill your promises. You say, draw near to you, and you will draw near to us. So we pause everything in our lives right now to draw near to you. And we anticipate and expect the wondrous event of you drawing near to us. In Jesus' name we pray. If you don't mind, keep the lights down. Thank you, Kelly. So I've got some scriptures I want to read because I've already had some opening remarks about what this morning is going to look like. And you know, it's funny, you don't realize how dependent you are upon a program and upon a schedule and an agenda until you try to throw it out the window. And I struggled with the thought of getting up here with absolutely no outline, no agenda, nothing for which I had to follow and adhere. It just went against every grain in my body. And when I threw some of this on some of the guys here, you could tell, this is okay. Because we here in America have become such a schedule and program driven society. And the problem is we've taken that and we've brought it into the church. We've brought it into the church. Now, that's not to say that every Sunday morning we come together and we just, man, we just, we wing it and do whatever. We do need to know who's going to sing a song, who's going to open in prayer, who's going to do the teaching. That's understandable. But we have to sometimes remember that presence is more important than program. I read from A.W. Tozier in a book where he talks about presence being more important than program, and how even back then in the 1940s, the American society was getting so dependent upon program that they forgot about presence. What good is a church without the presence of our Lord? What good are we? What possible impact can we make if the Lord is not working through us? How does the Lord work through us? Some people believe that once you become a Christian and you're born again, that's it. You all of a sudden have everything you need. And hear me on this. If that was true, why do we have so many Christians walking and living a life of defeat? Why? See, we have everything we need, but it hasn't been necessarily given to us because God wants to be sought. God wants to be sought. If you read the entire Bible, you will see the importance of God's people, His children, seeking after Him fervently. God says that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro the entire earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Fully committed to Him. So God is looking for those people so that He can strengthen them because their hearts are fully committed to Him. They are seeking after Him. He says, draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. God wants us to seek Him. See, every time I wanted to write something down on a piece of paper, I had to stop myself from doing it. But I did want to share this scripture with you. In 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to put it on the screen, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Starting in verse 12, I want to read this story to you about the people of Israel when they were facing a war that they knew they would not be able to win. They knew they would be defeated. And they knew that without the Lord's help, it's over. So we're going to listen to how these people handle this situation because it gives us a good example of how we should handle every situation in our lives, every obstacle, and every trial that we go through. Starting in verse 12. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to back up to, verse 12. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 10. It's not on the screen, so let me just read starting with verse 10. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors, the people of Israel talking to God. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. So these people have all come together against the people of Israelites. Now, starting with verse 12. O our God, won't you stop them? Listen, sometimes we read the Old Testament and we have a hard time relating to it because it's talking about the Israelites, it's talking about, way back then and all these wars and all this stuff. I want you to think about when you read stories like this in the Old Testament and even the New Testament, especially these stories in the Old Testament, think about the enemy, like when you read Psalms, think about the enemy as being the spiritual enemy that we have in this world today. Okay, we have an enemy who's very real, And he's very much our foe and very much against us. So when you read these stories and it's talking about these other nations against the people of Israel, against the people of God, think about the spiritual enemy that is against us here in this world, okay? Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do. So here's what they do. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood, this is the narrator, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go through all those names. Starting 15 now. He said, listen, this is what Jehaziel said, because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Remember, we talked about when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you're going to prophesy. You're going to speak forth His truths. You're going to proclaim. You're going to proclaim things for God. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon this Jehaziel, and this is what he said. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, listen. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you. O people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. So the Spirit came on this Jehaziel, and that's what he said. Karen, can you turn that off for me, please? Starting in verse 18, here's what happens. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. Sometimes we need to get into the Word, if for nothing else, so that we learn how to stand before the Almighty God. Because sometimes we stand too tall. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we stand too tall before the Almighty God. The one who says, fear no man. Fear only God, who can not only destroy your body, but also destroy your soul. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, is it not? Sometimes we stand too tall before the Lord. Now we know, as we talked about last week, the acceptance that we have in God, because we are accepted in His beloved. So we understand we can go into His presence with boldness, because we have been clothed with the robe of righteousness from His beloved Son. But we also need to remember how God feels about pride, because that is very clear in Scripture. So listen to what King Jehoshaphat does. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. They're doing what was prophesied through Jehaziel. They're doing now what the Lord told them to do. On the way, Jehoshaphat, the king, the leader, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in His prophets, and you will succeed. He says, believe. Have faith. Trust. God has already told you what the outcome would be. Now believe. Verse 21. After consulting the people. Okay? So the king says this, and then he consults with the people. And look at what they come up with. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. So they had not seen His faithfulness yet in this situation. They had not seen it, you understand. They are walking towards it. They had not yet seen it. But faith is that which is the unseen. They had faith knowing that God would be faithful to what He's already told them. And they had enough faith, they believed in Him enough, that they decided they were going to go ahead and start praising Him and thanking Him for what He was already, what He had not yet done, but already said He would do. Now, how often do we do that? How often do we start praising God and thanking Him for something He has not even done yet? That is a discipline we need to pay attention to this and learn how to do that, because that is proof of your faith. That's proof that you believe that God will be faithful. They are simply showing externally the faith that exists in them already. At the very moment they began to sing, and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. Praise and worship and thanksgiving before God had even acted was a trigger. God was going to be faithful if they had not even done this. But God reacted because they sought Him, they praised Him, they drew near to Him, they acknowledged their faith in Him, they acknowledged their trust in His faithfulness, and God moved. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground, as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. God not only answered, not only was He faithful, He was faithful completely, fully, not halfway. Now, that's an example of many examples in the Bible, and especially the Old Testament. And remember, when we're looking at God's character and who God is and what He expects of us and what He loves about His children and doesn't like when we do things, disobedient things. But when we are looking at that, we've got to look at the whole character of God. We don't dismiss the Old Testament because it's Old Testament. No, no. God doesn't change. We do look at this. And we look at it in light of what we have now in the New Covenant. But God is pleased and honored, and He is moved by His people praising Him and thanking Him and seeking after Him, regardless of what the external circumstances may show, regardless of what the trial is that you're going through, regardless of whether or not the end result has arrived or that you even know what the end result will be. Being His faithful children is showing that you trust Him no matter what, and that you are thankful. If He did nothing else for us, nothing else, He's done enough already. Amen? Is that not true? Have we not been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Have we not been clothed by the robe of righteousness to be able to step into His presence, into the throne of, not only the throne of mercy, the throne of judgment, boldly knowing that we have been stained, our hearts have been stained by the precious, spotless Lamb of God. the perfect sacrifice, the final sacrifice. That's who we are as children of God. That's what we've inherited. That's what we have. That is all we need to be thankful. But yet, we go to God with so many more petty little things that we want. I'm not saying that God is not interested in our every detail. The Scripture says that He is interested in every detail of our lives. He even knows every hair on your head. Doesn't take Him long on mine. But that's how much He knows us. That's how much He loves us. Scripture says God knows when even one little sparrow out of thousands in the sky that you might see, one little sparrow that falls, it doesn't happen without God knowing it. And how much more important are we than sparrows? Hebrews chapter 11 is the famous chapter on faith. We talked about faith, the pistuo, having faith in God. I feel like faith sometimes has been so diluted and weakened. Yes. Would you turn on the lights? Kelly, thank you. Thank you, Moose. That means that this is good enough to take notes on. Is that right?
Amen.
We talked a lot about faith. Faith will always, if your faith is genuine, listen, church, you know this. If your faith is genuine, it will come out in acts, in works, in good deeds. It will. You cannot have true, genuine faith in God and believe He is who He is and it not come out in your life. If you are not seeing fruit, if you are not seeing good deeds coming forth, you need to pay attention. Scripture tells us, examine ourselves. If we don't see these things coming forth, we need to be sure that our faith is genuine. But that's what happens when you have faith. That's what happens with what happened with these people who were facing the enemy who was going to destroy them. Their faith was true. It was real. It was genuine. And it came out in thanking God for doing something He had not even done yet. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter talks about this kind of faith. But I want to hone in on this one scripture. Verse 6 says this. It's not on the screen. Just listen. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants, listen, anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. And we must believe that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. If God did not want us to sincerely seek Him, why would He put this in Scripture? It is clear that in Scripture, all over the Bible, it has account after account of His people sincerely seeking Him. Jesus Christ, the Beloved Himself, Scripture says that He often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. The Son of God, who could not have been closer to the Father than, and no one could have been closer to the Father than He was, yet withdrew often for prayer, to be alone with God. I'm worried that we are forgetting and losing the importance of getting alone with God and seeking Him. Not only corporately, but individually, in our own individual lives. How do we expect God to draw close to us if we're not giving Him any time? We understand friendships in this physical world. We understand friendships that they require time. They require time. Those of you who have children, or you children who have parents, that would be everyone, you understand that time is very important. And when you don't have that time, there's a disconnect. Am I right? There's just, if you've gone a long time without any kind of interaction and time alone with this person, there's just this gap. This gap there. It's the same with God. It's foolish for us to waste time on all these things that distract us in this society. All these, especially now in the technological age of Facebook and Twitter and it's just surfing the web and all the stuff that's available to us at our fingertips. And we waste so much time on this stuff. When God says it's foolish to waste time on these things that have no eternal value, none, and to not have a rich relationship with God. That's a sermon for another day. But clearly it says that God, that we, anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So, I want us to spend a little time while we are together as a body of believers. You know, this is special because we don't do this very often. We do this once a week. Some of you may go somewhere else and do this more, but once a week we come together as a body of believers. God makes it clear that there's something about us coming together as a body of believers in His name, that He is there with us. Now, it's not to mean He's not with us when we're alone with Him. That's not what it means, but it does mean that there's something about us coming together. And there's something about us when we corporately, as a body, as His children, begin to praise Him, regardless of whether the results have shown themselves yet or not. When we begin to praise Him and thank Him and open our mouths and proclaim His goodness, not only does it make the enemy turn and run, but it begins that process of drawing close to God and Him drawing close to you. So we're going to spend a little bit of time. Now, we have a hard time with silence. Our culture just does not like silence. And I hate that we've gotten to be that way, but we are. We always have either music pumping into our ears or watching something coming into our eyes or whatever. But you get with people and sit and be silent. I mean, it is some people, and you know, everyone knows somebody who cannot be silent. It just makes them nervous. So they just, you know, they just talk. So silence is okay. It's all right. Sometimes we have to quiet our minds in our external in our environment, quiet it so that we may hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to our hearts. Do you know that God speaks to His people still today? He didn't stop that back in this, you know, era, dispensation. He actually still speaks to His children. But He doesn't barge in and you know, block out all this other stuff that you've got coming in. We have to learn to be quiet and learn to listen and hear. But He wants to speak to us. So I want us to just, we're going to spend just a little bit of time quietly thinking about the good things God has done in our lives. Now, I don't want you to think about what you need God to do for you. He's already done enough. Let's not go to Him with those things. Not yet. It's not to say that we don't. But let's spend some time thinking on what He has already done and thanking Him for it. So we're going to simply spend some time thanking Him individually. But then I'm going to have an opportunity for, if you would like, to speak. I've got this microphone. And thank God for something. Now listen, I'm not trying to be controlling, but I am. This is not the time for you to tell us about your Aunt Mabel who had another hip replacement and da-da-da. That's not what this is for. This is for praising our God who has already done magnificent things. You praise Him. You thank Him. You may have a scripture that you want to read, maybe something from Psalms or something that short, but that you want to read that thanks him. But I think God takes honor in that. I do. I think God takes honor when his children come together and they pause and they acknowledge who he is and what he has already done. So, let's spend some time. They're going to play a little bit of music, and let's thank the Lord in our hearts for what he's done. If you want to say something to him, if you want to thank him aloud for us all to agree, then just raise your hand. I'll bring the mic to you. And we'll do that for a little while, and then we'll go from there, okay? Father, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Thank you that even though you're so incredible and bigger than we can even put our minds around, you love us, and we thank you for that.
Father, I just want to thank you for the miracle of salvation, that you saved a wretch like me. Thank you.
Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in my son Reed's life. And I just want to thank you now, Lord, just from learning from those verses in 2 Chronicles, Lord, how that, Lord, that they just had to be obedient to you and that you destroyed the enemy, you know, around them while they just stood and praised you. So Lord, I just stand here and praise your name. Lord, I just bless your name, God, and just thank you for the salvation that will come to my son, Reed.
Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you that today I'm a year sober.
My Lord and Savior, I'd like to thank you today. As of yesterday, I was clean and sober for 1 year. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God, thank you that because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood on the cross, sin and death has been overcome and we can be victorious.
Father, I just want to thank you that your grace and your love and your blood has covered our past, but I'm glad the past is behind us, Father. We need to think about the present. We need to make plans for the future. Christ is supposed to be our hope. We need to live as hopeful people, Father, in expectation of not only what you're going to do today, but what you're going to do tomorrow and the day after that and a month from now, a year from now. Father, let us always be mindful that the past is where it belongs. It's in the past. But Father, thank you. Lord, make us mindful that it's the present and it's the future that you have called us to live and to work and to worship and to subdue this earth as best we can, Father, to fulfill your purpose and your plan, Father, so your kingdom could be expanded to the four corners of the earth, Father, so everyone can hear the good news, Father. And Father, let us live thankful of the past, but ready to work in the present, Father, and ever hopeful for the future.
Luke 1:31 says that with God all things are possible, and it truly is. Just a few short years ago, I could have never imagined my life as it is now. I was separated from you and walking in death. And you sent this wonderful woman in my life and completely flipped things around. And you used her to bring me to you. And I just thank you, Lord, for whatever few seconds or dozens of years I may have left with her. I just praise you and I dedicate my life to you.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for your many blessings and for being so faithful to us, Lord, through everything. I thank you for Life Point Church and for everyone here that's just such wonderful encouragement to us, Lord. And just thank you for everything every day in Jesus' name.
God's word from 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name.
God, I'd like to thank you for giving me the fortune of being able to be born in America, the greatest country on earth, and for being born into this great family of mine and being able to go to this great church.
As I take a moment just to realize how great my love is for my children, It takes my breath away to think that you would give your only son, and how much love you must have for us, that you would give your one and only son as a sacrifice that we might spend an eternity with you.
Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for the love that you've put in my heart, and I want to thank you for all the people that you've put in my life to teach me how to love you and share your word. God, I thank you for my children. I thank you for the work that you're doing in their lives and what you're going to do in their lives. I just thank you for my family. And I just thank you so much for your love. Thank you, Lord.
God, thank you for the diversity of the church. And thank you so much that there are different types of people who come here. Some people who have been raised in the church all their life, and some people who have never stepped in the church a day in their life, and this is their first time. And thank you so much that the church isn't just a building, but it's the people. The building's just where we're meeting. It's not a church. We're the church, and it doesn't matter where we meet. Thank you so much for giving us freedom and hope and life and letting us just have those years back that were taken by either improper, teaching, what we've been taught by sin, all those things, and just giving us hope in a future, God, for wanting to have a relationship with us and wanting us to be ourselves, not, one type of person or Christian robots, but wanting us to know you and have a relationship with you.
God, thank you that we had the opportunity to speak forth our praises and our thanksgiving to you. And I thank you for your presence here with us. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for... We have so many needs. And I just want... We don't have a lot of time, so I want, as a corporate body, to pray for Phil. He was hoping that he would be able to come back this next week, this upcoming Sunday, and be back in the pulpit to teach, but the eye doctor is just really advising him not to do that. And he did actually do some studying and some preparation, and just the little amount that he did created lots of aching pain in his eyes from the strain. So as you can imagine, it's he just wants to be here, being able to serve in the capacity that he feels called to serve. So I want to pray for him, all of us together. I don't even know if we've been able to do that as a body. So we're going to kind of just pray in agreement. I'm going to pray, and everyone can agree with me. And I would ask just a few of the ladies, if you would go put your hands on Sandy, and she's going to kind of be a representative for Phil. And let's just put your hands on her as we pray for Phil, and we'll pray for strength for the family as well. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we now come to you knowing that you have bent your ear down, you are listening to us. And we thank you that you are listening to your children. And we come to you right now, Father, with a specific need, and that is for our pastor, Phil. Lord, we our ways are not your ways. Your ways are so much higher. We can't even begin to understand, nor are we going to even really try. But we know that we can trust you. We know that you love us, and we know that the plans you have for us are good, plans for a hope and a future, not plans for disaster. And God, we're trusting you for that. And right now, we as a body of believers have gathered right at this moment to lift up our pastor to you. He's been so faithful in serving us Sunday after Sunday, and teaching us your word and your truth. And God, we don't understand what this is all about, but we trust you. And we know that when you prune and you refine, we come out stronger. And God, we pray for Phil right now. We don't want to shorten your process, but God, if you are willing and if it pleases you, would you restore him? Would you heal his eyes so that he doesn't even have to go back for any other procedures, or when he goes back to the doctors, they just can't even explain it other than to say, we've witnessed a miracle. So that your name will be given glory. So that you will be lifted up. God, we ask for that miraculous healing touch that only you can do, because you are the great physician, and we go back to you. When we are broken, we go to you. Father, we trust you, whether it's now or whether you restore him days or weeks from now. Whatever you choose, Father, we trust you. But we do ask. You say that we do not receive because we don't ask. And when we ask for the wrong things. Father, we're only asking because you've invited us to ask. And you've given us examples of being persistent in our prayers. And God, we, in our limited thinking, see that this might be a good thing for him to be restored at this time. But we trust you because you know what's best. But we ask that you would heal him, and if it's not your timing now, that you would strengthen him and encourage him and give him the strength and endurance that he needs to finish this path that you've put him on. God, we also pray for the family. We pray for Sandy, for Caroline, for Nick. Lord, we pray for your strength. Lord, we know that there are crosshairs on them. The enemy has crosshairs on them. We know that they are always going to be targets for the enemy. And so we now pray a special prayer of protection around them. Amen. That your warrior angels would set up camp around them and around their home. And that the enemy would not have any progress against them. Lord, that you would rebuke the enemy. And that you would strengthen each one of them with your incredible, supernatural way that your Holy Spirit does that we can't even understand. But it's a peace that only you can give. And that's what we ask for in their lives. That you would bring the entire family through this. And that you would be given glory because of their faithfulness. Because you have strengthened them. And we ask that in agreement as your children. We plead and we ask that you would hear that prayer. And that you would restore our brother. Our friend. And our leader, because he is submitted to you. Father, we ask all of this in the name of your precious Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Of my heart.